Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Day 6 of the Feast of Tabernacles 2012. And today we are going to learn about the secret of the Lord and how important that is and our part in it. And how is it that we understand the secret of God? Let's begin at the beginning. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. And what God did was to enter into a covenant with them. That's the covenant of the Garden of Eden. Now, God created man and woman to be in a created, loving relationship. And we're going to see that God desires a relationship with us, a very intimate, personal relationship. But we also need to understand that every covenant of God is a created relationship. And in those created relationships, there are responsibilities that God has declared that are His, and responsibilities that God has declared that are those who participate in the covenant. Now, we know that when God called Israel out of Egypt, He created a relationship with them and said, I will be your God and you will be my people. However, as we have seen, they have never really fulfilled what God intended them to do. And we're going to see some very interesting things concerning the secret of God and the will of God. Now, in addition to what God has said, let's come here to Isaiah 48. And here's really quite a profound chapter in the book of the Bible, because this tells us many things. And if we want to know what God has done, if we want to know what God thinks, and we need to understand our response to it as well, then we need to study the Word of God. And remember, now you see, as we go through these things, let's remember some basic things. God said in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He repeated it during the temptation that Christ had with Satan the devil, that man shall live by every word of God. Now, God has made His will known according to the bounds of the covenant that He has established. Now, you can go back and go through the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which we won't do at this time, but what we want to do is focus in on the covenant that God gave to Israel, and that how hidden within the words of God are the secrets of God and the secrets of His will, which was not fully revealed until we come to the time of the New Testament, though He has declared these things. Now, remember when we first started the feast in Leviticus 23, when I said God has put all the holy days there, and that we are to understand them by faith. Now, here in Isaiah 48, if you'll turn there, we find a review of God's created relationship with Israel and how they never really fulfilled it. And yet, in creating that relationship and giving the Word of God, and then later all the histories of the kings and the prophets and all together, God revealed certain aspects of Himself and the relationship that He expected from those who enter into covenant with Him. Now here, verse 1, Isaiah 48. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, who have come out of the waters of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. So what God is saying here is that Israel never lived up to the terms of the covenant. And constant through everything that men do, down to this day, and the perversion of the gospel in New Testament today, is this. Men want to take the word of God, add to it or take away from it, or misinterpret it. And this is done very subtly. And then gradually, just like being a degree or two off course, sooner or later, you have gone into strange waters and territory that you know nothing about, and God is not with you. Now, here is what the children of Israel always do. This applies today to the modern descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, especially the 10 tribes, and especially those that are descended of Joseph. Verse 2. For they call themselves after the holy city, rest themselves on the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts is his name. I have foretold former things from ages ago. They went out of my mouth, and I proclaimed them. I acted suddenly, and they came to pass. Isn't that what God did when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt? Yes. Is that not what God did at the time of Jesus' birth? Yes. Brought it about suddenly. How did Jesus appear to the temple? Well, just exactly like it says in Malachi 3 and verse 1, the messenger was sent before the Lord to proclaim the way, and the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple, and that was fulfilled in the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Amazing, isn't it? That came to pass. Now, the children of Israel were blinded because they didn't obey, and here's a principle you can just count on absolutely. If you do not believe and hear and obey, you will be blinded. And in being blinded then, you will do things which in your own eyes appear to be right and something that God ought to accept. And that's the whole story of the children of Israel. Now let's continue on here, verse 4. Because I knew that you are obstinate, and your neck is an iron sinew, and your brow bronze. Still today, by those who profess to be Christians today. Isn't that true? By those who profess to be God's people, the descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel. Oh, God is with us, but you won't listen to his word. So he declares, he says, verse 5, and I have even declared it to you ages ago before it came to pass. I revealed it to you lest you should say, my idol has done these things, and my graven image and my molten image has commanded them. You have heard, seen all this, and will you not declare it? I have shown you new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. A lot of hidden knowledge and things of God, you see. Now today we're going to see that God has given us the understanding of his secret, his very plan for the world, of which keeping the Feast of Tabernacles and understanding the meaning of it is a great part of God's plan. But the rest of the world does not know. Orthodox Christianity does not know. Not one single religion in the world knows anything about the secret things of God according to his own will. Now we're going to see how that relates to us and relates to our calling to be kings and priests and to teach the whole world the will of God. Now let's go continue on here. They are created now, not ages ago. Even before today, you did not hear them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. So this is why the word of God is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, and the word of God must be properly divided in order or put together in order to understand the truth. And God does not reveal his truth, even contained in his word, unless you do the things that please God. Unless you do as God has commanded, unless you do as Jesus has commanded. We'll see that. Let's continue. Verse 8, even though God gave them, he says this, yea, you did not hear. Yea, you did not know. Yea, from ages ago your ear was not opened. And we find in 2 Corinthians 3 that the veil is over their eyes when the law of Moses is read. They can't understand it. And that's why they reject and hate the holy days of God. Isn't that amazing? The very thing that would help them understand about God, they reject and profess that they know God, just exactly as it's prophesied here in Isaiah 48. Think of that. Now here's why. For I surely knew that you would deal very treacherously and were called a transgressor from the womb. Law of sin and death within us. For my name's sake, I have put off my anger. For my praise, I will hold it back for your sake, that I do not cut you off. So God still loves Israel. God is going to correct them. But God is going to glorify his name. And God is going to show his greatness. Because you see, when the millennium begins, the regathering of Israel is going to take place. And he's going to do a marvelous and wonderful thing. He's going to remove this obstinance that they have and the sinew of iron and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will be able to understand. But you see, to the church, it's given to understand now. And that is a tremendous thing. Verse 10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I will do it. For why should my name be profaned? Now God is going to change it so it won't be anymore. And I will not give my glory to another. Now let's really understand that. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. That's why Jesus said, he is the door of the sheep. And you have to enter in at the door, not climb up some other way. So he continues here. Hearken to me, O Jacob and Israel. My called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. My hand also laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call, they stand up together. The whole universe obeys God, but Israel doesn't. The churches that profess his name do not, and we in the churches of God need to. So God says here, verse 14, let all of you be gathered together and hear. Who among them has declared these things? The Lord has loved him. Still loved him. O Israel, why will you not hear the word of God? And we can say also, O Church of God, why will you not hear the word of God and open your heart and open your mind and serve God in truth and love and grace? Verse 15, I have spoken, yea, I have called him. Now think about this. God has called you. You have answered the call. I brought him, and he makes his way succeed. Come near to me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. No. Everything that God wants man to know, he spoke publicly, gave it to his servants, and they wrote it so that we can have the word of God. God says you don't have to go on heaven to try and find it. You don't have to go clear across the sea to try and find it. You don't have to go to the depths under the sea to try and find it. It is very near you, in your heart and in your mind, and that means put in a language that you can understand. Isn't that something? Why is it that people credit so much to God, but yet they won't love him and obey him? Why is it that when they read the Word of God, they want to change it and try and improve upon it? Makes no sense at all. If you have a perfect God, perfect law, perfect word, perfect character, can the imperfect character of man who wants to readjust it and make it better really do so? Never can. He hadn't spoken in secret. It's all recorded. That's why when we come to the New Testament, it is the preaching of the gospel of the witness of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, and his personal, intimate, loving family relationship that he has created for us through Jesus Christ. See, that's what God wants. And the reason that he has given it to us, and it can be maintained the way God wants through prayer, through study, through yielding to God, through doing his will. And then he's going to perfect his character in us so we can bring it to the world. So the secret things of God were spoken openly and publicly, but only he can reveal the secrets contained therein. From the time that it was, there I am. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord who teaches you to profit. And the only profit is to know. Not money, not physical assets, not gold and silver, not power, but to know God. And the only thing that profits is what is done according to the will of God and through the Spirit of God. And only God can make that profit. And he says so in verse 18. Notice. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, like Psalm 1, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea, constantly coming, constantly growing, constantly renewing. And your seed would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your loins like the grains of sand. Their name would not be cut off nor destroyed from before me. But that never happened with Israel. He's yet to choose them. He's yet to bring them back. But now he is dealing with his church. Now let's come to Psalm 25. Psalm 25 is really a tremendous psalm. Tells us a lot about understanding God, understanding his way. And of course they had this. Now, very few were there really ready to yield to God to do his will. We know that David was. And let's see how David sought God. And let's see how it is that we are to do these things. Now, Psalm 25 and verse 1. Now, notice his attitude. Let this be part of how we think, of how we come to God, and how God is going to deal with us. And notice the relationship that David had with God, as we can discern it from this psalm. And now we always look to God, because remember this, we are always dependent upon God for everything, everything physical, everything spiritual. Verse 1, to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. That's what we need to do. Believe God, trust God, love God, have faith in God. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. And we're to be overcomers, is that not true? To overcome Satan the devil, to overcome sin, to overcome the self, yes. Yea, let none that wait upon you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed who deal treacherously without a cause. Now notice what David cried out for. You see, and God gives this to us as we grow and change and overcome and constantly seek after it. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day long. Now, this is the attitude that we need to have, brethren, to really grow and fulfill what God has for us, and so that we can teach it to the world, we can teach it to the people. Let's go on. Let's come down here to verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant and testimonies. Now notice the condition there. No one is going to understand the paths of mercy and truth if you don't keep covenant. Now that applies directly to the new covenant, which is a created relationship between God the Father, Jesus Christ, and each individual believer, and combined together, we form the church. God is the one who does it, see? Now, those who don't won't know. Now, let's come down here to verse 2. Verse 12. What man is he who fears the Lord? He shall teach him in the way that he shall choose, the way that God will choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Now, that is the church. Now, here's where we want to come. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord. Now, that's God's secret plan, to understand God's word, to understand his truth, to receive his Holy Spirit, united with the spirit of your mind, to be able to have the righteousness of Christ developed within us. And you see, this is so great, because it's preparing us to rule the world with Christ, and preparing us to be in the family of God, and preparing us to help Christ expand the family of God, beginning with the millennium. So this is a tremendous thing. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. That's the new covenant that we are in now. When we're resurrected, there will be another covenant established, the marriage covenant with the Lord, the covenant of the work that we will be doing and teaching the whole world. See, God is a covenant God, and all of these things are created relationships, and that's the secret of the Lord. Your relationship with him, he created in a special and tremendous way, so that through the word of God, you can understand the secret of God. All right, now let's come to Ephesians, the first chapter. Let's see how fantastic this is, brethren. Now, we're going to look at this and analyze these verses in a way so we can understand them and the truth of it. Okay? Let's begin. Ephesians, the first chapter. And, of course, we are going to see that God has done something according to his will for us to know, for us to understand. We then, when we're kings and priests in the kingdom of God, we are going to show the rest of humanity that very thing. And we will be elevated to a level of life that is immortal. This is why, in the created relationship that we have now with God the Father and Jesus Christ, the covenant sacrifice is, number one, the sacrifice of Christ and his shed blood. Our covenant sacrifice is repentance and baptism by full immersion in water, which is symbolic of our death, and we are joined to his death. The created relationship. Now, God the Father is our Father and gives us of His Holy Spirit. And here's what God wants with all of us. So let's read it, beginning right here in verse 1. And I want you to focus in on the will of God. We find it beginning right there in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That means out beyond the city of Ephesus, and to all of those who are in Christ, all the way down through time, because this has been preserved for us, so we have the words of God, the knowledge of God, the will of God, the truth of God. Notice what comes to us first. This is what God wants to bring to us. Notice, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, directly from God. This created relationship is a spiritual relationship that involves the Spirit of God from God the Father and Jesus Christ, and we become the begotten children of God. Now, John expresses it this way in chapter 3 of 1 John. Behold, what glorious love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And then Paul writes that if we are children, then we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Now think of the magnitude of that. Let's go on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. And oh, we have a lot of spiritual blessings that have come from heaven, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, truth of God. Yes, indeed. Understanding His plan. Now notice verse 4. According as He has personally chosen us for Himself before the foundation of the world. Now, this doesn't mean He knew us before the foundation of the world, but from the foundation of the world, the very plan of building the world, He had a plan that those that He would call would be His spiritual children through Christ, because Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. See, when you put all of these things together, God has called us and brought us into a tremendous plan that He is fulfilling and working out in our lives and working out in the lives of all those who have His Spirit and working out everything in the world according to the prophecies that He has given. Now, let's continue on. In order that we might be holy and blameless before Him in love. It is a loving relationship. We stand in grace. We walk in faith. We believe in hope. We live in love. In love. Now notice. Notice our destiny. This is the secret of the Lord that the world doesn't know. Verse 4. Having predestinated us for sonship to Himself, to be His children. That's why in Romans 8 we can call Him Father, Abba, or Daddy. A close, personal, created relationship from God the Father. Through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His own will. Now this is number 2. Of the will of God, verse 1. This is number 2. Notice, according to the good pleasure of His own will and what He is going to do, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us objects of His grace in the beloved Son. That is so fantastic, brethren. You look down here at us, whatever age you are, whatever difficulties you have in your life, whatever things you need to overcome, you are the object of God's love and grace. And this is what we're going to bring to people in the world. They then will become the objects of God's love and grace. See, because we were created to be totally dependent upon God in everything. Now, let's continue here. Objects of His grace in the beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, according even the remission of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Think of that. Now, notice what He has done. And compare this to what the world knows. All those who think they know everything, the elite of the world, who proclaim themselves to be the wise ones, they become fools in rejecting God. Notice. Which He has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence. The true education from God, from His Spirit, from His Word, having made known to us the mystery or the secret of His own will. There it is again, number three. According to His good pleasure, so we have according to the riches of His grace, according to His good pleasure. Stop and think about it for a minute. And remember this time. Remember this moment sitting here at the Feast of Tabernacles and going over these words. So when you have a trial, when you have a difficulty, when you have something that comes along, remember God loves you, and you, through the love of God and the truth of God, through Jesus Christ, are going to enter into the kingdom of God, and combined, all of us together are going to bring the love of God to the world. Think of that. Let's go on. Having made known to us the mystery or secret of His own will, according to His good pleasure, which He proposed in Himself. Only God could think of a great plan like He has. Look at all the other religions. What do they know? Well, at best, they can be a counterfeit. But God has given us the real thing. Notice, verse 10, that in a divine plan for the fulfilling of the times, He might bring all things together in Christ, both the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. And He's going to do it. Notice, verse 11. Yes, in Him in whom we have also obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated to His purpose, because He proposed it before the foundation of the world. He has carried it out. The call has gone out. We have answered the call. God has given us of His truth and His righteousness, and He has shown us His plan, His secret. The reason why we're here, the reason why we keep the Feast of Tabernacles and the Sabbath and the Passover and all the holy days of God, because contained therein is the secret of God that He reveals. Now notice this. According to His purpose. Now, according to the riches of His grace, according to the good pleasure of His will. Oh, this is something. Brethren, do you grasp it? Do I grasp it? Do we all grasp it? The greatness of God's plan and His secret which He's given to us. That, see, working out all things according to the counsel of His own will, that we might be the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Isn't that something? To the praise of the glory of God. Now, that also tells you something very profound, doesn't it? That just as Paul said, that God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How's that for a God of love and truth and goodness, huh? How do you then compare anything in this world to what God is giving? To the plan of God. You can't. Now, verse 13. In whom you also trusted after hearing the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after believing you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And all of this according to the will of God, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The very fact that you have the Spirit of God united with the spirit of your mind. The very fact that you understand the Word of God and the truth of God. The very fact that you understand the things that He has written here. The very fact that the Holy Spirit of God leads you in truth and righteousness and has given you strength and the power to overcome inwardly, see? That's the seal of the promise, that God will deliver what He has promised. Now, that's something, brother. That is fantastic. Now, notice, it is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, and the purchased possession is that we have been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ to the praise of His glory. Now, there are hardly any other verses in the whole New Testament, even in the whole Bible, that come close to conveying this tremendous relationship that God has given to us. Now, this is especially created by God through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, through God working His will in our lives. Now, this is tremendous. Think of the responsibility that God has given to us, that He has revealed to us according to His own will, His secret plan. Now, that's something we need to really keep in mind. Now, let's look a little bit more at the will of God and what this requires of us. Now, as we're turning there, we're going to see some very important things here. All right? First of all, the will of God is this. Let's come to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. Now, this whole chapter is so fantastic and reveals so many things to us. So, brethren, I want you to grasp and understand as never before. See, and this is how we're going to be able to endure the difficult days ahead of us. And if things that we see happening in the world or any indication of what's going to go on, we're going to face some very difficult times, so this is why we need to have the hope, the inspiration, the grace, and the love of God just completely satiating our minds through the Spirit of God. Because here is what God has done for us. From God directly to each one of us, through Christ. Now let's pick it up here in verse 9. The true light was that which enlightens everyone who comes into the world. Everyone has the spirit of man. Christ gives it. However, look what happened. Look what Jesus did. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world came into being through Him, but the world did not know Him, exactly like we read back in Isaiah 48 to begin. God called Jacob, but he just wanted to flatter God and not have true righteousness. Same thing in the world. They want the name of Christ. They preach the name of Christ, but they don't know Him. He came to His own. Yes, He came to Judea. He came to those of which it was prophesied that He would be of the physical lineage and to whom He would come and preach the gospel. And His own did not receive Him. They hated Him. They judged Him. They crucified Him. But through the power of the resurrection, God overcame all of it. And here is what He has done for us. Now, this is to us. But as many as receive Him. Now, to receive Christ involves everything concerning repentance, baptism, growing in grace and knowledge, believing His word, living by every word of God, etc. receive him as Savior, receive him as Redeemer, receive him as our High Priest. To them he gave authority. No one else has the authority, see, because you have to enter into that created relationship through covenant. To them he gave authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Now notice, this is a spiritual thing that must take place. Who were not begotten by bloodlines, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but by the will of God. Whew. So God has done that. Now what does he expect back from us? What are we to do? Now let's come to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And let's see what Jesus says. Let's see what we are to do with the will of God. All the will of God in our lives and everything that we do. Now let's pick it up here in verse 21. Now here's a very basic scripture we've gone over many times. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, and yea, there are lots that do, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And this is what we're striving to do. Enter into it through the power of the resurrection, to have immortality, to have a spirit body, a spirit mind, to love God, to see God, to serve him, to bring peace to this world. But the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now think on that. Everything that Jesus did was the will of God. He didn't do it on his own. He didn't come here to preach his words. We'll see that. And this becomes important because what are we going to do to serve the people in the millennium? We're going to teach them God's ways, God's words. We are going to open up as God gives us the knowledge because remember, the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the seas cover the earth. What is that going to be like? And that's just on the earth. What is it going to be like in the spiritual realm, the spiritual plane of the kingdom of God? So here we have the will of the Father. Now let's come to Luke, the 6th chapter, and let's see something very interesting here. Because it's not only the will of the Father, which we saw back there in Ephesians, the 1st chapter, and the Gospel of John, the 1st chapter. But come here to verse 46 of Luke 6. Let's see what Jesus also said in addition to the will of the Father. And notice, it said back there in Matthew 7, you have to be practicing the will of the Father who's in heaven. Now, to practice it means you live by it. Now, likewise, when we teach people in the millennium, they're going to learn to practice the will of God. They're going to understand the will of God. All right, let's see what Jesus says here. Verse 46. Luke 6 and verse 46. Now, everyone who is a good dyed-in-the-wool Protestant or Catholic or belonging to any other religion, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, all are rejected of God. All are satanic counterfeits of the truth. So think on this. Here's how you judge these things. Jesus said we have to be practicing the will of the Father who's in heaven. Now notice verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not practice what I say? All the teachings of Christ. No one's going to receive eternal life without practicing the things that Jesus has said. Now notice, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and practices them, I will show you what he's like. That has to be the way that you live. And God has revealed his secret to us. So we have to be practicing all the word of God, living by it. Verse 48. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and the rock is Christ. And the flood came, and the torrents beat against that house, but could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. Now, let's just stop here and think for just a minute. How many people did not build their spiritual houses on the rock of Christ? Now, what's going to happen? Because remember this, there is always a test coming. There is always a divide coming. And these things are going to happen to test and to prove and to eliminate the dross, to eliminate all of those unprofitable servants, those wicked, evil servants, even within the churches of God. Now, if you're built on the rock, you are going to believe through thick and thin, through every trial, through every difficulty, through every blessing, through every great thing of God, and God will give you understanding of His Word, of His truth. And everything that we saw there in Ephesians, the first chapter, God is going to give. Now, He wants to give it to us first because we believe in Jesus Christ now. So think what it's going to be like when Christ returns. And what are we going to bring to those in the world? The very same thing. Now, for us, come back here to verse 49. But the one who has heard my words and has not practiced them is like a man who built his house on top of the ground without a foundation, and when the torrent beat against it, it fell at once, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, we're going to look a little bit more at the created relationship that God wants us to have. And this is important because, you see, God has given it to us to save the world. Now, think on that for a minute. We'll take a break and be right back.